Amen. But it is so good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm believing God to touch us. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, the 19th chapter. Believe in God to touch and minister to us this week. Amen. We're in the season that we become known as Pentecost. Next Sunday is marked Pentecost Sunday. This is a time we celebrate what happened on the day of Pentecost, a little over 2,000 years ago, when the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room and those men were baptized in the Holy Spirit. We in the Church of God, along with some other denominations, are called Pentecostals. I will tell you up front, I am not ashamed of the fact I am a Pentecostal. You got some people, they'll say, "Are you Pentecostal?" And you'll see them kind of. I don't know, church, if you're Pentecostal, you're supposed to have boldness. You ain't supposed to be afraid of what you are. Amen. And if I didn't believe it was real, it wouldn't be what I am. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm a Pentecostal. I believe it is biblical. I believe it is there. I believe the outpouring of the Spirit exists from the time of Genesis right on down. And at times in the Old Testament, people had the Holy Spirit of God move in their lives. And I like what Moses said when they told him about the fellas prophesying in the camp. He said, "I would to God everybody in this place could feel what we feel." Amen. I don't want anybody not to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think it's for everybody. Amen. And I think we live in a day when we need to understand it's important as Pentecostals we understand what we believe. And I have a real problem with church folks who walk up to you, "What do you believe?" "Well, I believe what church God believes." "Well, they believe. They believe the same thing I do. I wouldn't go there." You could make it in a philosophy class. Amen. Hello. I took a philosophy class one time and turned in a term paper, and it was 30 pages, and the first three and the middle three and the last three were on subject. The rest of them was Mary Had a Little Lamb and all kind of stuff in it. And guy gave me an A. Professor said it was one of the greatest papers I ever saw. About a week later, I passed him, and he said, "You know, every professor on campus is watching for you now." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I finally got around to reading your whole paper." I said, "Really?" He said, "You know," he said, "you're the first person to ever pull something like that and get away with it." And I told him, I said, "I learned a lot in your class, didn't I?" Philosophy is the ability to say a whole lot without saying a whole lot of anything. Amen. Glory. Acts chapter 19, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, 'Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?' And they said unto him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there were or be any Holy Ghost.' And he said to them, 'What then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Unto John's baptism.' And then said Paul, 'John verily baptized in the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe in him and which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.'" Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today, God, for your anointing, for your power, for your love. I ask, God, that you would touch, use me today for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you just give the Lord another hand clap of praise just to let him know you know he's here? Amen. It's a time of great growth in the early church. There's a new church plant in several cities in what we now call Turkey. Many of the books of the New Testament were written as letters to the different churches to encourage them. The churches such as Corinth, Ephesus, Galatia, Colossae, Philippi. These letters were written to encourage the people who were there. And while Apollos is in Corinth preaching, the Bible said Paul passes through the coast of a place called Ephesus. Ephesus was a horrible town. It was full of ungodliness and pagan worship. And Paul comes up on some guys down by the seashore, and he walks up to them and said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "Well, we didn't know there was such a thing." How many of y'all raised in church found that out later? Amen. Been in church all your life. Somebody said, "You got the Holy Ghost? What's that?" Hello? I mean, I got in the Church of God. I wasn't Church of God. I wasn't Pentecostal. I was raised by a backslid Methodist preacher and a backslid Church of God woman. I basically bounced. I'm Baptist, Methodist, Nazarene, Presbyterian, Catholic. I went to all those churches, and finally I got in the Church of God, and I'll never forget, I got saved, and, you know, I thought, hey, I'm saved. And all of a sudden, this young man turned around one night and said, hey, you need to get sanctified. I said, what's that? He said, I don't know, but you need it. And I went through a whole process of, getting sanctified. And then, I didn't realize, but I probably got sanctified some the first night because I threw away drugs and alcohol and quit smoking and all that happened. That's pretty much clean up that night. But I finally got hit with the Spirit one night and shouted with him and said, oh, yeah, he's sanctified. I said, man, I got it now. And all of a sudden, they started preaching about the Holy Ghost. I said, what's that? And they say, same answer. I don't know, but you need it. Glory. You know, I thank God he learned a little bit because he pastors the Church of God now. Amen. But, you know, it was the blind leading the blind, but we was all headed in the same direction. Amen. But, you know, finally God filled me with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, and God began to move in my life. But Paul told these guys, said, if you've served as believers, what have you been baptized by then? They said, well, we were baptized by John. He said, truly, John told you to repent and believe on the one that was coming after him. And that one that came after him, I'm going to tell you about him. His name is Jesus Christ. He died on a cross. He's the guy that died for your sins. And the Bible said when they believed, he baptized them again into the body of Christ. Amen. Come on, church, smile. Amen. And then suddenly he say, laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice this is two separate experiences. All at the same point, but at two separate experiences. Hello? Amen. Just hang on to that because it's going to become important before we get through. Amen. See, baptize actually can be applied to three parts of the process we call our relationship with God. The word baptism, or to be baptized, comes from a Greek word which simply means to be immersed or submerged into something. That's why I have a problem when people said I got baptized and somebody sprinkled them. I joined the church, they anointed me with oil and said, you've been baptized. I said, oh, that's great. I remember preaching to the church one time. They were using a Methodist church for their sanctuary. They had this little thing off to the side. I said, what's that? And they said, that's the baptistry. I said, how you get in it? I mean, it's a little. And the guy said, oh, we sprinkle. I said, really? If the word baptism means to be immersed or submerged, it's kind of hard to get sprinkled to be baptized. Hello? I'm sorry. I'm messing up some of your theology, but I probably intend to do more of it before the day's over. Amen. But now, we live in a day where we talk about Pentecost, it messes everybody up because they're hung up on whether or not there's such a thing as Pentecost. Listen, Pentecost is just a word that simply means 50th. It's the 50th day after the resurrection. Amen. And it's Pentecost. If you want to get it right, you're actually celebrating Shabbat. That's the Jewish holiday that Pentecost falls on. And it is a day of an anointing, the day of the blessing, the day of the fire. Amen. And church, that's technically what we're talking about. Getting more than just an experience, but a relationship that is based on the fire that was promised by John. I indeed baptize you with water, but there comes one after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to undo. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that is a promise we have that there's something beyond the repentant place that God talks about. And I want to talk to you about the three phases of baptism that is dealing with your salvation and your relationship with God. First, there is the baptism into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When I got saved, I was baptized by the blood of Calvary, and through that baptism of that blood, I became a part of the body of Christ. Hello? And we got people saying, oh, wait a minute, preacher, I got saved. You did, but in the salvation process, you were baptized in the blood. What are you talking about? You were immersed in the blood and totally covered by the blood. Could you say amen to that? Amen. The Bible said, in this is the love of God, that he gave his own son that he might be a propitiation for your sins. That word propitiation simply means to cover, to completely cover my sins. And I thank God this morning, amen, that my sins are gone. I don't know about y'all, but I'd hate to know I had to stand before God and answer for some stuff I did before I got saved. Hello? There is stuff I did before I got saved. I don't remember doing them. Y'all don't have that problem, I know. But at the same time, I'd hate to know I had to try to recollect every one of them and make them right. And I'll be honest with you, there's some I know I did. I can never make restitution for fear that I might not live through the restitution process. Smile. There are things I did to some folks kin to me that if they found out I was the one did it, they probably wouldn't be forgiveness on their mind, even this far down the road. Smile. But thank God my sins are gone. There's no song to read back hymn, but my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. They're as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Thank God, or praise God, my sins are gone. I don't know about y'all, but I thank God this morning that everything before the night I said, God, I'm sorry, has disappeared, cast as far as the east is from the west, and it's not coming back because I was baptized into the body of Christ. Could you say amen? John 6 and 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Now, I want to ask you a question, church. How does God the Father draw us to Christ? It is the Spirit that draws us. Hello? It is the Spirit that helps set us free. Isaiah 10, 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that this burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Amen. What is that? The Spirit of God is what breaks the yoke of bondage and helps the captive get to the place they can be set free. The agent of the Spirit of God worked in here as a convicting power long before the day of Pentecost. It was on this world. It moved in people's lives, and today it draws us to Jesus by the action of the Father, and through that drawing we come to know Jesus Christ and are baptized into his body and saved. Could you say amen? Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What did he say? So you got saved, and because you got saved, you took on Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. One rendition just simply said you've been clothed in Christ. Amen. That gives you a little better idea. Amen. John chapter 20. I want you to turn with me. I want to show you something. John chapter 20, verse 19. If you read it here in the book of John, you can read it and do a Pentecostal message. It won't wait because I have done that. All right. The same day at evening, being first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now, why did he say peace be unto you? A dead man just walked through the wall, casually strolled into their midst. I don't know about y'all, but I probably wouldn't be sitting there going, "Woo, it's him." Because let's face it, wasn't but one of that whole group even believed he was alive, and that was John. Rest of them thought somebody stole his body. And all of a sudden he comes walking through the wall and they see him and they're like, come on, some of y'all going, now, preacher, wouldn't bother me. I've been around some of y'all, you hear a noise, you don't want to climb a wall. You ain't even seen nothing yet. These guys lose it, and immediately he said, peace be unto you. Same thing he said to them when he come walking on the water and they thought it was a spirit. He said, peace be unto you, be not afraid. It is I. Now he's dead. He's basically saying, calm down, it's me. And then said Jesus again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He said, you know, God sent me to do something. Now I'm going to send you to do something. And the Bible said he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, hang on. These men have not been saved yet. Hello? Wait a minute, preacher. They are saved. Jesus had just died on the cross. He's just come forth from the grave. The price for their salvation has just happened. When he breathed on them, he breathed the anointing and the power of the Spirit on them. And the Bible said they were to receive that Spirit. But now, you say, preacher, you're getting messed up. No, turn to the book of Luke chapter 24. Same story. And we're going to see how it works out. Amen. And they spake with Jesus himself, stood in the midst of them, and said to them, peace be unto you. 36th verse. But they were terrified and frightened to suppose that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold your hand, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for the spirit hath not flesh and bone as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them the hands and the feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, he wondered and said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and he did eat for them. Now notice something. He said, first of all, I am a spirit. Feel me. Touch me. I'm not like a normal spirit. I'm in a glorified body. I can even eat. Hello? Somebody said, what's that got to do with anything? I don't know what it's going to be like when he does come, but I know when he does come, I'm going to be like him. I'm going to have one of those bodies that can pass through a wall, can eat, can move, transfer, travel places. Come on, church. Amen. Then he opened their understanding, and they might understand the scripture, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, he says, first of all, you got to have the understanding of what's going on. They don't even understand what's happened. So they can't really have comprehended the true reality of what's happening in their life. He opens the scriptures. They believe. He said, now you are going to experience the salvation experience. And now you're going to tell everybody else what it's like to get saved. And listen, then he turns around and he says this. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power from on high. Notice this. That was when he said, you're not getting the Holy Ghost right now, but it's over there waiting on you. And if you'll tarry and wait, God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. The second experience is going to take place after the salvation experience. Could you say amen? Acts 1:3. To whom also he showed himself alive after the passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard me. And for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days thence. So they're saved. They receive the promise of something deeper, of an experience that's coming. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit with you. Hello? See, we got Pentecostals that are scared to say that, afraid somebody think, I got the whole thing. Well, there are people that think they got the whole thing because they got saved and the Holy Spirit abides with them. But it is scriptural. John chapter 14, verse 16, I pray the Father, he should give you another comforter, he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, but he shall be in you. Hello? Now, we've got you in the body of Christ. Process. Number two. You're baptized in water. Say, wait a minute, preacher. You messing up. I got the Holy Spirit and I got saved. Why don't you get baptized in the Spirit? You see this bottle? It's got water in it, don't it? When I got saved, God filled me up with his anointing, with his Spirit. When I get baptized, it's like putting this bottle in a swimming pool. It all gets covered. It's all around you. It's all over you. It's everywhere you look. Come on, church. Some of y'all missing this. See, I know some of you miss it because you ain't happy in your relationship. You're saved and dragging around a dead spirit when you need to get baptized, get an anointing in your life, get some life in you, and you'll be in church saying, hey, I don't care what song they're singing. They're singing about him, and that anointing's got me vibrating, and I'm going to get into it, and I'm going to worship him. I don't care who don't like it. I don't care who don't see it. I'm alive because I've got life in me and life in my presence because I've been baptized in the anointing of the Holy. I mean, do y'all understand the difference? It's one thing to fill a bottle of water, it's another to put the bottle in the water. Hallelujah. It's just different. Come on, church. Smile at me. Some of y'all act like preachers going crazy this morning. I've been that way all my life. Glory. I don't preach like this because I was raised Pentecostal. See, let me ask you a question. I skipped it to start the place. But what conclusions would you come up with is all you had to do was read a Bible and make your own conclusions? See, what I'm going to preach to you, to share with you this morning, it's right here in the Bible, been there all along, but it messes up some people's theology. Amen. water baptism. Jesus said Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Water baptism does not save you. We have a group that teaches you got to be baptized to get saved. No. We be baptized because Jesus said these things you ought to do and leave none of these undone, not because part of salvation, because if it was part of salvation, we would mess up the scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We could run, I'm baptized, I've done my work, I'm saved. No, I'm saved through the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm baptized because it is something else more significant, not just salvation, but it is my declaration to the world. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood of Calvary. I am a new creature in Christ. Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace be abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, but like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. What did he say? He said, when I'm baptized, I signify the death, the burial, the resurrection, and new life in him. And that is the significance of water baptism. And if you write that on your test for your ordination, they will mark it wrong and say it's vague. That's what happened to mine. I made 99, and I looked at Brother Lee. I said, why? He said, nobody's ever made 100. I'm going to take a point off somewhere. Glory. And I am one of those that never made 100 under him. Glory. Look, when Christ was baptized, don't you think if Christ thought it was significant to be baptized, we ought to think it's significant that we be baptized? Then cometh Jesus of Galilee of the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it become us to fulfill righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he's baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, the voice of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus gets baptized, comes out of the water. Says, I want to throw this in here. It cost you nothing. It probably don't even fit this sermon, but I thought about it just then. We spend all our life trying to make God love us because we've done it all our life trying to make our family love us. You know, we did things because we want mom and dad to love us, and we kill ourselves trying to make them proud of us. What had Jesus done before this day? He'd been in a carpenter shop. He ain't done nothing. Not one miracle, not one blinded eye open, not one person seen, not one person. But what happened when he was baptized? The Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The point is, I don't have to preach another message to make God happy with me. I don't have to do one other thing to make God happy with me. All I have to do is be born again, washed in the blood of Calvary. And once I've done that, God said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, because he made the decision. I'm walking with you. I'm loving you. I'm living for you. And that's all we have to do to find the reality of God in our lives. Somebody said, well, why do you do what you do? Because I love it. When I messed my leg up a couple years ago, I didn't get in that wheelchair and preach to impress nobody. I did it because I wanted my life back. This is what I am. This is what I live for. This is what I think about 24 hours a day, is to be who I am. And church, somebody needs to realize it's not just preachers, but every person ought to get up in the morning. This is a day that the Lord had made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it, because I got another opportunity to live for my God. Hang on a second. Somebody clap. My eyes are cloudy. Thirdly, the process, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 8, 5 and 7. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ unto them. And the people were accorded, with one accord, gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits cried with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. Many had taken palsy. They were lame, were healed. He preached to them. They got saved. He baptized them. Hold that thought. 14th verse, 8th chapter. Now when the apostles which were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. They have revival down in Samaria. Let's send the big dogs down there, because that fella, he's moving on. Hello? Philip left. He left the big revival and went to the desert to preach to one dude. We got preachers would never do that. They'd be staying over at the big place where they could get all the... Oh, come on, church. I'm sorry. Big revival going on. Philip gets through preaching. He got everybody saved and baptized the whole town. He leaves, and they send Peter and John. It's significant. Who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So you see, church, I'm showing you all three baptisms at one time, but it was a definite second experience that took place when they received the Holy Ghost. Could you say amen? Well, I don't believe doctrine. This ain't doctrine. This is Bible. I'm not Church of God Pentecostal because I got doctrine. I'm here because I got in a book, found it myself, and got hungry for something I'd never heard anything about, because it was there and I wanted everything God had for me. Glory. When seeking the Holy Ghost, remember, there is never a bad gift going to come from God. We got people, I don't want that. It'll make you act crazy. I used to laugh at Pentecostals. I'm serious. We used to go down and make fun of them. We thought that's crazy. Mamie and Lomer come to the house. We thought that's wild. Oh, we had revival. We got so carried away, we'd run out stopping cars and praying for people in the street. They used to do that in the Church of God. I remember preaching in Ensley one time. I prayed for everybody in the building. I looked over the pastor. I said, if I not prayed for everybody in this building, it's 3 hours after I quit preaching. I'm still praying for folks. Line running out the door. They said, oh, we're stopping people, telling them the man of God's praying for folks. And said, they're getting out of the cars. And said, they're praying them through in the foyer and sending them to you. Glory. I said, I got to be at church at 6 o'clock. He said, where? I said, Roanoke. He said, you probably ain't going to make it. I called the pastor. I was an hour late. They just finished singing when I walked through the door. Amen. But you know, church, that's the reality of where we used to be. Come on, nod your head. Oh, I don't want that stuff. I don't want it. We used to not worry about what it was going to do. We just wanted more of God. One more verse I want to tell you about. 1 John chapter 5. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Next time somebody wants to talk to you about the Trinity, just give them that verse of Scripture and say, deal with it, guys. Amen. All three parts are there. They're all one. You don't like that? Turn to where Stephen looked and saw the heavens open, saw the glory of God, saw God standing beside himself. There ain't no Trinity. Come on, church, smile. Some of y'all missed that, but he said, I saw Jesus stand at the right hand of the Father. So if there's not a Trinity, he saw God standing beside himself. I just threw that in. Won't cost you nothing. And there were three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, the blood. And these three agree in one. Whoa. The blood, salvation, the water, baptism, the Spirit, the endowment of power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. Ah, come on, church. Amen. Glory. You say, well, preacher, even in the Old Testament, it worked the same way. You had the brazen altar as you come into the tabernacle. That was where the blood sacrifices were. In the next area, you had the laver where you washed and prepared yourself for the holy place. And in the holy place, there were candlesticks lit by oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. You say, what are you getting at? All three processes that I'm talking about have been there all along. We in the church were designed to live Spirit-filled, empowered lives. We were not intended to walk around falling down, giving up, not being able to make it. God has given us everything we need to the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost to be a definite move of God that has to deal with in this world. The church was never supposed to operate on its own power. We need signs and wonders and miracles happening so that people that don't believe will know there is a God. Amen. Somewhere we got the idea we can program them in. We got all these programs teach us how to build a church, and none of them teach us how to build the kingdom of God. I don't want a church full of people. I want the kingdom of God to expand. I want it to happen because we get people so excited about God. It transfers to everybody they come in contact with. And let me tell you something, friend. If you ain't happy about what you got, you are never going to sell it to anybody else. Woo. Come on, church. You believe in what you're selling, you can sell it to anybody. Hello? Why is this a separate experience? They're different. Salvation would have nothing but what Christ has done for you. He moves you. Holy Ghost for empowerment for service. That is so you can move the world. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The conditions of my eternal life has nothing to do with church attendance, Sunday school pens. Well, if I ain't got no church, I won't be here next week. I still believe that scripture ties you here. He that knoweth to do good doeth not, to them it is a sin. And Jesus said, forsake not the assembly yourselves together for to worship God. That's what this is, an assembly to worship God, to receive from him. Amen? But if I don't go to church, it's not got anything to do with my salvation. If I'm saved, I'm saved. I can stay saved as long as I continue to do the things God told me to do and walk in his will and keep his commandments. If I don't, I can lose what God has given me. The Holy Ghost baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. You can go to heaven without being filled with the Spirit. You can drive a car without buying gas. But sooner or later, it's going to run out. Come on, church. See, the relationship I have with God is what determines on whether or not I'm going to heaven. And that relationship needs to be close. The Spirit moves me to salvation. James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no invariableness, neither is there shadow of turning. Notice Peter. He's been 3 years with Christ, saw all the miracles, and yet he sits around a campfire denying Christ because he doesn't have the ability to tell one girl about the man he knows who's going to die tomorrow on a cross, and he knows it's coming. Pentecost happens. This same man who can't tell one girl about the Holy Spirit and about the work of God and about what God's doing gets anointed with the Holy Spirit in the upper room and runs out in a crowd of thousands going, hey, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, has died for your sins, and now he has come and rose from the grave so you could have life if you believe in. And next thing you know, 3,000 people are praying through the anointing of this man of God, who under the anointing of the Holy Spirit has a whole new way of talking and a whole new boldness and a whole new power. And that, my friend, is what it is all about. It's coming to that place where I'm filled with an anointing and a boldness to tell the world there is a way that's better than your way. There is a life that's better than your life. There is a God who can change everything and give you an anointing that'll move you deeper into his presence. Very quickly, how to be filled with the Spirit. You ever notice we got folks that consider themselves experts? We used to count me one time, and we were walking through the altars, prayer with people, and there was a guy with me by the name of Dennis Boggs. Dennis was about 5'5". He walked up to that guy and said, that's it, brother, just keep praising God. We start walking off, and the guy grabbed me, spun around, and said, hey, I've been seeking the Holy Ghost 20 years. Don't you tell me how to get him. Dennis looked at me. I said, you're about to mess up his relationship. Don't think keeps him close to God. Seeking. Glory. Hello? Number one, the Ephesians says, be not drunk on wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, first thing you got to do, remove all barriers. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, who does that mean? First of all, you got to get the things out of your way, sin. You got to repent. You got to get sin out of your way. Once sin's out of the way, you got to get rid of some other barriers. Doctrine. You can't receive the Holy Ghost if in the back of your mind you don't believe there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Because, well, you know, I ain't never heard that before. You know, I just don't believe it that way. You know, when I was a kid, I never believed you had to have more money to live than you could possibly make. I figured that out and I got older. I remember my dad talking to me one time. He said, son, you need to start saving. There's going to be a day you're going to wish you had. And I said, Dad, I make more money than you do. I'm never going to have to worry about it. Because at 18, I made more money than my dad. I thought that was just going to be the thing. I was going to keep going up. I had no clue life was headed toward a wall that was going to change everything. Come on, church. I got saved, started making more money than I was making when I was telling my dad that. I'm thinking, yeah, buddy, we're going to be in good shape. And then God drew a line in the sand and said, follow me. And I made the mistake of challenging God. I said, okay, God, you want me to quit this job? Let that man ask me to do something he knows I am not going to do. I walked in the office the next morning. He said, you're working Saturday. I said, I don't work on Saturday. I'm straight commission. I don't work by the hour. He said, you'll be here Saturday or you won't have a job. I said, let me help you out. I quit right now. Walked out the door, walked back to the apartment. She said, what are you doing home? I said, I quit. I believe it's God's will. She said, I hope so. I went to work with her dad making $6 an hour. Working. I hadn't done that in years. I'd been a salesperson. Now I'm working. I went from riding around a car playing golf to driving nails and toting wood for a lot less money than I was making, and I'm out there filthy. The first day I had brand new pants, brand new shirt, brand new boots. I come home, I was solid black. My boots were torn, my pants were torn, the shirt was ripped. My wife looked at me and said, what happened to you? I said, yo, daddy. Life changed. But my belief system took a big turn, too. suddenly I realized it wasn't what I thought it was. And God's trying to shake some of you to realize there are more there than you've been looking for. Secondly, request the gift of the Holy Ghost. Luke 11:13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ask and ye shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. You don't have to beat yourself against the wall to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You just have to say, God, I'm saved. I'm ready. I want to be filled with your Spirit. And I'm seeking the fullness of the Spirit. And I desire spiritual gifts in my life. Thirdly, receive him by faith. Everything that is done by faith requires you to take a risk. You never receive from God by faith unless you have to step out and do something that gives you a place to be at risk. I want the Holy Ghost, but I like to be in control. Ezekiel chapter 47, and when the man had the line in his hand, he went forth eastward, and he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water, and the water was at my ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water there to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and there were to my loins. And afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the water was risen. Water to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. What did he say? He said, I kept moving till I got so deep I got out of control. Any of you ever been in water you can't control? No. And we've done it on purpose, called whitewater rafting. There's been times going down that river, I was saying, what kind of idiot am I? I'm in this boat going faster than we'd be if it had a motor, and there's no motor. It's just this stupid water, and there's rocks that I could hit. But I enjoyed every minute of it because I let go, and I quit worrying, and I took the risk. And it was one of the greatest thrills of my life. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Sometimes you got to get so deep in God, you ain't in control no more. You can't just make sure everything's going. Come on, oh, church, that's good stuff. Y'all just sitting there, well, preacher, no. That's the way it's got to be. Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Relate to him daily. 2 Corinthians 13:14, for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. We have to commune with God every day of our life. Church, I'm sorry, but some people, the problem you have is you try to make it from Sunday to Sunday and you drag back in here half dead. Call me 2 or 3 times during the week because you've lost it. And don't quit calling me. I'm not saying don't. But if you'd start communing with God every day, you wouldn't have to have somebody drag you up out of the dirt every time you turned around. Come on, church. That's good preaching. So what are you talking about? This is not just a Sunday morning experience. And if they sing Granny's favorite song, I'll get into it. I've seen some of you. They sing the song you like. Oh, you into it. If it ain't your song. Looked like you had prune juice before you got here. The truth of the matter is, you ought to be worshiping God, whether it's Granny's favorite song or anything. If it's talking about him, you ought to get excited about it. Come on, church. I mean, I was here last night, and that dude got to singing. I wasn't even sure what he was singing until I caught the melody of the song, and I was with him because he was worshiping God while I was getting with him. Then I figured out what he was singing, and I was really with him. Glory. I've been in Romania where I didn't have a clue what they were singing, but I was. Somebody said, what are you doing? I said, they're worshiping. I'm with them, baby. They're talking about God. That's all I need to know. Amen. Come on, church. Why? Because I want to commune with him, not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I want to find a place where I can get alone with God and I can commune with him and feel his presence in my life. And if I do that, then every day of my life, I've got something in me I can share with the people around me that I can come in contact with to let them know there is a God, there is a way, there is a truth, there is a life. It's through the anointing of the Spirit of God that it... Stand with me all over the house. We need Pentecost again. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need God to touch us. Father, we love you today. God, we ask you to touch this house with your anointing. Move on us with the fire of your Spirit. Touch us, God, with your sweet love. God, let your anointing flow in us. For it is in you that we live and move and have our being. And by you we are more than conquerors. We just figure it out, God. We wouldn't have to try to find some new way. The old way works just wonderful if we just get in it and live.